You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I'm joined by two campaigners campaigning to improve the oral health of Aotearoa, New Zealand. They have recently visited around 18 or so towns in the North Island. They've embarked on their South Island tour for Dental for All, trying to improve the oral health care situation here in Aotearoa. We have Kaylee Taylor and Max Harris from their organisation, Dental for All, to talk about their nationwide roadshow, the state of oral health in Aotearoa, and to plug their chat in the Everson Lounge later today. Good morning to you both, Max and Kaylee. How are we doing?
Morena. I'm good. Thank you for having us.
Of course. Very, very glad to have you. How are you, Max?
Oh, kia ora. I'm well, thanks. Yeah, good to be here.
I'm glad to have you both. It's good to have you, Kaylee, because you are Radio 1 alumni.
I am.
You used to do the drive show?
I used to do the drive show.
Did you do news stuff?
No news. No. Just drive and chatting. And
no news, just drive. Sorry.
No, there was no, like, important information that I shared on air. It was mostly just me, like, thinking,
yapping
aloud, externally processing things that were happening in politics and things that I was just thinking about. It was 2020, so I was thinking about a lot of things. And I was externally processing them live on air. My apologies to everyone that listened during that time.
It was a hard year to be a human and a hard year to be a radio host.
It was.
The two of which rarely coincide. Now, my first question for you two, you've been through 18 towns already promoting this campaign or this Kaupapa Dental for All. How has it treated you so far? Do you feel tired after visiting 18 towns in the North Island?
I do feel tired. Yeah, I feel quite tired. But I also feel quite, like, enlivened by it. It was a lot, obviously, being on the road and, you know, unpacking and repacking the car every 5 minutes, it felt. But also, like, the number of people that were keen to talk to us, that were keen to trust us, that were keen to tell us their stories, and then keen to get involved with local action was just so, like, empowering for all of us. And I feel really strengthened by the energy that they had. And that was just the North Island. And I feel like the South Island could be better. And I feel like we could have more cool people.
Okay.
No pressure.
Well, okay. You, Max?
Yeah, it's been energising, like Kaylee said, and definitely tiring. It's often like one town per day. And sometimes I think we wish we could stay around longer. You know, you start to hear stories, you start to hear about communities kind of fighting back. But yeah, it's felt really fulfilling. It's a privilege to hear people's stories, and it's given us a sense of momentum, I reckon, as we go around, and a belief that change is really possible, if that's not too cliche.
No, change is always possible, my dear friend. I saw in a Scoop article that Hannah Pilkington-Ching, who works with you guys in Dental for All, she mentioned that she'd heard story after story of under 18s having their oral health needs neglected by the system on this nationwide tour that you've embarked upon. I thought that would be maybe that the under 18s would have better oral health because currently the oral health settings are that under 18s get relatively cheap or free dental care. So what's going on there?
I think there's a few things happening. I think because the over 18 model is privatised, there's a kind of a lack of accountability. There's a lack of, like, nationwide strategy around dental. There hasn't been a nationwide oral health strategy since 2006. I was in primary school in 2006, experiencing the benefits of the under 18 system. But I think that because there isn't that accountability consistently, that system has been allowed to kind of not perhaps have the funding that it needed, and not, yeah. And then obviously because they don't have that strong base for, because under 18s don't have that strong base, when they get to turn 18 and they're locked out of the public health system and it's not free for them, it's like there's so many barriers to them accessing the care that they need.
It's a real shame. A real shame. Now, I know someone who recently spent around $5,000 on a root canal. 40% of adults in Aotearoa can't afford dental care. 1 in 3 adults suffer tooth decay, and some local councils are trying to defluoridise their water supply. What is the state of dental care in 2025 in Aotearoa?
Similar to that, and quite shocking, we've heard stories like that of people not accessing the care that they needed consistently and it leading to bigger problems. I think that, like, root canals are one of those things that if you have regular, free, ideally, preventative checkups, your teeth don't get to the state of a root canal because you just fill them in with a little bit of problem, or you get help managing your plaque, or you get reminded that really you do need to floss. So having access to, like, regular, free preventative treatment avoids those big fees. I did a piece of research last year speaking to people about their experience of the oral health system, and one person had had that experience of needing to get a root canal because they had gone, they'd actually gone to Lumino in Dunedin and they'd found out that it was going to be $250 or something for their appointment, and they looked at the amount of money in their bank account, they were a student at the time, and they looked at the amount of money that that it was going to cost, $250, and they were like, well, I can't afford rent if I do that. So they didn't want to, but they had to ignore that problem and they had to put it to the side, and then it became this massive, you know, thousands of dollars procedure later down. Whereas if they'd just had access to regular free preventative care, then that wouldn't have needed to happen.
Maybe a couple of things just to add to that. Like, as we've been going around, we've been hearing also that when people can't afford dental care, it's not that they do nothing. Often they're forced to do kind of home remedies. So in Wanaka a couple of days ago, an oral health therapist said, you know, it's just standard for her to hear about clove oil and Panadol as the standard way people try to treat, you know, the worst kind of dental problems. And we've heard across the country about pliers being used to take out teeth. And fish wire. Someone, one of our speakers came out and presented fish wire and said this is the main thing that, you know, people in our community use. One other final point about kind of the current state is if you're over 18, basically the only way you can get any public support for dental is this $1,000 WINS grant.
Yes.
And what we've heard is that's really inadequate, and Kaylee's research touched on this as well. So yesterday in Karetane, we heard about someone who went into rest homes, and because older people had set aside $5,000 for their funerals, they weren't eligible for the $1,000 WINS grant because you can only have just over $1,000 in savings to get it. And you know, with your friend, like if treatment is costing you several thousand dollars, which is often the reality, you're not going to get that kind of coverage. So that's why we're calling for a universal approach consistent with how we treat the rest of our health and the public healthcare system.
And if you can't afford a dental care, or you don't do a home remedy, I've heard people going to Bali, which has kind of become for New Zealanders needing dental care what Turkey years for boarding men. Now, Otago is a relatively wealthy part of Aotearoa, so the dental situation is probably not as bad here as it is in other parts. Whereabouts is the situation the worst in New Zealand?
Ooh.
Where are the worst or afflicted regions?
I feel like it's pretty bad everywhere, to be fair. We were up in Te Tai Tokoro in Northland a couple of weeks ago and heard a lot there about difficulty to access not just the cost barrier but also the like travel times to get places. And I think part of what we're looking to do is also think really quite creatively about the way that the oral health system could be structured to make sure that everyone can access it. And we also went around East Cape to Te Tairawhiti as well, and there was a lot of need there. But those statistics that you mentioned earlier about like 44.9% of New Zealanders not being able to access care due to cost is something that we're hearing everywhere that we've gone, and we've talked to people in like wealthy parts of Auckland and even in Wanaka, people were talking about it. So it's not this thing that's isolated to some people in some places. I think it's something that affects all of us. And I remember, like, this is such a ramble, I remember when I started university here, and I when I was like 17 and a half, my mum was like, okay, now you need to go to the dentist, because if you've got any issues, you need to deal with them all before you turn 18, because that's it, you're dunsies, and you can't access the public health system. And like, I'm from like a relatively privileged family, and there was just this awareness, even for me and my whānau, that that was just it, and that I wouldn't be accessing the dentist after that for a long period of time, and that's been the case.
Dental for All, I noticed, has a titiriti element to it for the oral health system to uphold Māori rights to tino rangatiratanga as guaranteed by Article 2 of the Treaty of Waitangi. Why is this important?
It's important for a couple of reasons. I guess first, titiriti is like our founding document, so it should be an important part of any policy. It's also important because the current healthcare system isn't upholding titiriti in a few ways. It's not giving Māori equitable and equal treatment, but also, you know, we've heard a lot that Māori want to be trusted with developing their own healthcare solutions, and actually some of the best responses to the oral healthcare crisis at the moment have come from local Māori setting up services in local communities. So we think it's kind of a constitutional obligation, but also we think supporting Māori will advance some of the best responses we've seen so far. So what that looks like concretely is, for us, like, one model would be a network of community clinics around the country with salaried dentists providing free care, and then alongside that, having bi Māori, for Māori services funded by the government. It could be delivered in iwi, hapu, marae, where some services are already being delivered, could possibly be delivered with a whānau ora model. There have been lots of Māori oral health therapists and dentists thinking about this, including Te Ao Marama, the Māori Dental Association, who's part of our coalition. It's a key part of what we're talking about, and we really believe in universal free care, but without the tertility component, we don't think we'd have a complete response.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes with universal services in Aotearoa, there's certain groups who don't get the universal care, and Māori tend to be one of those groups. I know that the Māori Health Authority's life was very short-lived, but did it have any recommendations about oral health for Māori?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think not specifically. There were people working in Te Aka Whai Ora who we spoke to who were keen to advance oral health. One interesting thing is that independent Māori entities that still do exist as part of Te Whatu Ora are able to come up with priorities, and around the country in these localities, quite a few of these entities have decided oral health is going to be their priority, or they're trying to push in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to add to that, Katie? Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. It's something that really needs a push. And what's been really interesting is going around the country, actually, so many Māori have come out and are pushing for change on this, and have either already responded with local services or are keen to get activated and get moving on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that this roadshow tour is more a way to promote to the people, but what kind of discussion have you had with government about dental for all, if any?
To be honest, we haven't had that much conversation with the current government. We spoke a little bit to Shane Reti before the last election, and he was keen to chat to us, and then he got into government and wasn't quite so keen to talk to us anymore. There's been a lot of interest from political parties not currently in government, particularly the Greens, and a little bit of interest from Labour and Te Pāti Māori around expanding universal access. So we're keen to, as part of this roadshow, build up local support and local capacity for people in every region across Aotearoa to agitate and make change in their communities, and so that when we get to election year next year, people are talking about dental, people are hyped on dental, people understand that the status quo isn't working and that change can happen in Aotearoa, and also are willing to push for that and to advocate for that within their communities and also to political parties. And we really hope that this can be something that we can be talking about in election year, and we can be talking about the fact that this is a political choice and we actually don't need to be living in pain. We don't need to be pulling our own teeth out. We don't need to be going into significant quantities of debt to various credit card companies who are exploitative and horrible. This is a political choice, and the political choice has been made, but the political choice can be unmade, and we can collectively work together for that.
And one thing that makes me think, Kaylee, is I think what's cool about this campaign is it is a bit of a portal into talking about broader political issues. So if you want to look at what a privatised healthcare system looks like, just look at our current adult dental system. It's already privatised, it's already causing huge pain and suffering. So this is one way of talking about the threat of privatisation, but also if we win these arguments positively on why universalism is important or why tertility is important, we think we can open up space for other universal free public services, whether that's transport or energy or other areas where tertility is not being honoured at the moment. And people see that and are excited about that at the events we've held.
Amen. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on the program. If you're interested in going on to hear Kaylee, Max and a few experts from around Otipoti come and talk about dental for all, you can do so at the Everson Lunch tonight at 5:30. It goes till 7:30. Do either of you have any final words you'd like to leave our listeners with?
There will be Kai tonight, so people should definitely come along, if not just for the free kai. And we're really excited to meet with people and to talk more with people. And it's a beautiful day in Dunedin. And I'm looking forward to it. Glad to be back here.
It's good to have you back. And Max?
Yeah, one other thing is we're trying to set up kind of local organising groups in different places. So we'll be starting that conversation tonight if people wanted to, set up a kind of local group fighting for dental for all. But also if you can't make it tonight, feel free to get in touch with us on our website, dentalforall.nz. And we're also on Instagram and Facebook and other platforms.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate your time. Take care.
Kia ora.
Thank you. That was Kaylee Taylor and Max Harris from Dental for All talking about the importance of Dental for All, their nationwide roadshow and their talk later tonight at the Everson Lounge in the Clubs and Societies building on Albany Street. It starts at 5:30 p.m. at 10:15.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.